Turn, please, to Philippians chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 19 through 24. The subject is the commendation of a co-worker in Christ. Philippians 2, beginning at verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Everyone needs a helper. There are some things in life that you just can't do by yourself. Basketball team may have a superstar, like the Cleveland Cavaliers do. His name is LeBron James. He scored 48 points in the game this last Thursday night. And LeBron James is taking his team to the NBA playoffs. But if you put him on the court by himself, he couldn't win a game. There are four other guys that play a very important role on a basketball team. A band may feature an instrument, like the trumpet, may be the primary piece, but without the sax and the clarinet, the trombone, the flute, the piano, the strings, and the percussion, the trumpet just doesn't sound as good by itself. A one-man band really isn't a band, is it? A marriage, too, is a team effort. God made man, and then he made woman to be his helpmate. And the Scripture teaches that with mutual respect for each other, and each one carrying out their God-given responsibilities, they can together build a godly home. The Scriptures speak of the church as a body with many members. And each member contributes a very special part so that the work of the ministry can be accomplished. God has placed us in this body. He's given us unique gifts, and we are together to participate in the building up of the church. In other words, we need one another. Moses needed Joshua. Josiah needed Hilkiah, and Paul needed assistance from men like Timothy. He also had help from Barnabas and Silas and Titus. And there's a fellow mentioned here in Philippians 2, verse 25, God willing, we'll look at next week, Epaphroditus. But today we're going to look at this man, Timothy. Paul wasn't a one-man band. He had helpers. And two of the men who helped him in the work of the ministry are mentioned here in this chapter. Timothy is referred to in verses 19 through 24, and Epaphroditus in verses 25 to 30. And these two men represent but a complex network of fellow laborers and workers that surrounded the Apostle Paul and assisted him in evangelizing and church planting. The Apostle Paul needed these men. And together they accomplished great things for the kingdom of Christ. First appears when we read these verses that Paul is simply providing the Philippians with plans of his hope to visit them soon, and as a temporary measure, sending his co-workers Timothy and Epaphroditus to visit them and assist them. But that's not the case at all. We must not dismiss these verses as simply containing some insignificant personal data about his travels. These two paragraphs are more than just a travel log. One writer says it is an illustration of how two fellow believers, both well known to the Philippians, can put into practice the principles of conduct that Paul has suggested the Philippians follow. And that is true. In part, that's what Paul is doing here. Timothy and Epaphroditus were two men who exemplified everything that Paul had written earlier in this letter about conduct that is worthy of the gospel. They were men who fit the qualities put forth in the first four verses of this chapter. Men characterized as looking out for the interest of others and not just their own interest. So Timothy and Epaphroditus provide tangible evidence of what a Christ-centered life looks like, a life characterized by serving others in humility. So we're going to look at what Paul has to say about Timothy here in this passage. We're going to look at the commission, the recommendation, and then at the importance of Timothy. So the first thing we see in the text is what can be called Timothy's commission. Note verse 19. Paul wrote, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state." Paul is an apostle. He has the authority to send someone like Timothy to this church to assist them. And so this is a statement of commission, the commission of Timothy. Timothy, of course, is one of the better known co-laborers of Paul. The apostle Paul wrote two very important letters to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. We call them pastoral epistles. He is mentioned in the greeting of this letter, the letter to the Philippians. You remember verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul and Timothy, the bondservants of Jesus Christ. Timothy was probably converted when Paul preached in his hometown, when he and Barnabas came through on the first missionary journey. He lived in and around the areas of Lystra and Iconium. Acts 13 and 14, Paul is there preaching. And if you read the 1st and 2nd Timothy, you see that Paul referred to him on occasions as his son in the ministry or a true son in the faith. So it's likely that Paul had something to do with his conversion. But Timothy was not just a wild pagan boy that Paul happened to meet and preach the gospel to. Timothy was a young man who had a good godly upbringing. We looked just a few Sundays ago on Mother's Day about his mother and grandmother. They are mentioned by name in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, Lois and Eunice. And 2 Timothy 3:15 informs us that they taught him the Holy Scriptures from his childhood, Scriptures which are able to make one wise unto salvation. So when Timothy heard Paul preach the Old Testament and show how Christ, or how Jesus was the Christ of God, the Messiah, then he became a believer. He became a follower of the Lord Jesus. And somewhere shortly after that, he began to accompany Paul on some of his trips. In fact, Timothy accompanied Paul, if you read Acts 16, when he first went to Philippi and evangelized. So the people in Philippians knew Timothy. And there were occasions when Paul would leave Timothy behind in order to establish a church, or he might send him to a church to do the same. We read in 1 Thessalonians 3 that Timothy was sent to Thessalonica from Athens to strengthen, to encourage the congregation. He was also sent to Corinth from Ephesus. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 Corinthians 16 tells us that, and he was sent for a similar purpose. So knowing that he, Paul, could not go to Philippi because of his Roman imprisonment, he planned to send Timothy instead. And he states his intentions here in verse 19. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. And he gives one of the reasons why he's going to send him, that I may be encouraged when I know your state. Now, Paul perceived this to be the will of God. And he uses an expression here that indicates this as such. Notice the words, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. That's more literally, I hope in the Lord Jesus. You don't have the word faith or trust here. It is the word hope. And Paul's not tacking these words on without reason. Paul was a man committed to doing the will of God. And so when he says, I hope, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send him, he's meaning he's going to do it if it is the will of God. He's planning, but his trust and hope is that it is the will of God. And when Paul used such an expression like that, it wasn't an escape clause in case his plans didn't materialize. Paul was a man that sought to live his life according to the will of God. We frequently find him submitting all of his hopes, all of his plans for the future to the Lord, to whom his life was united. He told the Romans, Romans 15, verse 32, that he desired to come to them in joy by the will of God. He told the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16, 7, I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. That's how he lived his life. I'll do this if God wills. I'll do this if he permits. I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to send Timothy to you. That's how he lived his life. That's how we ought to live our lives. We shouldn't make plans to do anything without submitting ourselves to the will of the Lord. Reliance on Christ, directions from Christ, hope in Christ should be the factors that determine the course of our lives. And James, I think, said it better than anyone else, James 4:15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. You know I've got that habit. Lord willing, next Sunday night this guy will preach. It's a habit we need to have. So God willing, or as he hoped in Jesus Christ, he'd send Timothy to them shortly. And there are two reasons why he would commission Timothy to go to the Philippians. First, he states in verse 19, he wanted to know of their state. Information about them, he was sure, would be an encouragement to his soul. Note how he states it. I'm going to send him that I may be encouraged. And the word there is literally cheered. To have the spirits lifted and comforted. And he knows Timothy would be a reliable and accurate source of information that he could not obtain any other way. So I'm going to send Timothy to you so that I may be encouraged and have my heart lifted up when I know about your state. But second, he wanted to send someone that would be of help to them. And you see that verses 20 and 21 we'll look at in just a little bit. He wanted to send someone who would care for them. Someone who would have the maturity needed to help them work out some of their problems. And we've noticed some of the problems they've had. A little disunity. Two women in particular, Philippians 4, were arguing against one another. Some kind of problem between them. And so Paul is willing to let go of his most trusted helper, a man who was of great assistance to himself for their sakes. In fact, I am sure the Philippians' benefit was the main motive for the proposed visit by Timothy. And so for these reasons, he planned to send his right-hand man, Timothy, with apostolic authority. He would commission Timothy to go to Philippi. But let's look at something else. Not only did Paul propose to send Timothy to them, he also highly recommended him. And we have a commendation of Timothy that follows. Three verses here. Look, beginning at verse 20. I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Oh, Paul speaks glowingly of Timothy. Richard Mellick says these verses contain one of the highest commendations possible. And I think that's so. Let's look at it. It is a threefold recommendation. First, Paul says that Timothy will care for them as he himself would if he were among them. Note verse 19 or verse 20 again. I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. The New American Standard translates this, I have no one else of kindred spirit who will be genuinely concerned for their welfare. In other words, Timothy was like Paul. They were kindred spirits. Paul could send Timothy to them knowing that he would minister to them and help them in exactly the same way he would if it were possible for him to be among them. The reason for that is because for Timothy to live was Christ, the same as it was for Paul. They had the same disposition. And so in sending Timothy, he sent the best. He was like-minded, of kindred spirit. He's sending an extension of himself. Timothy is what Paul had urged them to be. Look back at verse 2. He says to the Philippians, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Boy, what a model of service. And how this would be manifest before them would be seen in the life of Timothy. Paul says he will sincerely, or you could translate that genuinely, care for your state. He's going to look out for your interests, for your welfare. He's going to put your needs above his own. He's going to show you genuine pastoral care. Jerry Bridges, in his book, The Practice of Godliness, says, we cannot take a genuine interest in the welfare of others, as did Timothy, unless we are willing to become involved in their interests and their concerns. And we cannot do this unless we are willing to forego our interests. So I'm going to send Timothy because he's going to care for you genuinely and sincerely. He's going to take care of you as I would if I were there. What a commendation. But let's look secondly. Verse 21, Timothy is fully committed to the work of the ministry. We have sort of a comparison here, or rather a contrast. Paul is not talking about Timothy here. He's talking about others. But Timothy is to be contrasted with them. He said, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. In other words, there wasn't anyone else with Paul at that present moment that he could trust to send besides Timothy. Now, there were other workers that he could have sent if they had been with him. Luke, Titus, a few others, but evidently they weren't with him. And everybody else, all the other Christians there, he could not send. And so he compliments Timothy, but he adds a striking indictment to all the others. Oh, there may have been people there with Paul in Rome who had the talents to do the job, but lacked total commitment that the job required. What a sad statement this is. Look at it again. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Things haven't changed much in the 20th century, have they? There are still few who are fully committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what the cost. I heard a veteran missionary speak last year on how easy it is these days to get young people to go on a short-term mission trip. 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 months, maybe even 3 months. But it's very hard to get them to commit to a long-term effort. To say, I will give my life to Jesus Christ to reach the people in Indonesia or to reach the people in Cambodia. Oh, I'll go help a missionary for a few weeks. But I want to come back to my own comfortable lifestyle. That's the picture here. Paul said, I don't have anybody that's fully committed that I can send. Timothy's the only one. James Montgomery Boyce said, Timothy put Jesus first. In this, he stood head and shoulders above those who were around him. It is easy to put other things first. You can give first place to your plans, your family, success, or anything else. But if you do, even these things will be distorted and you will miss life's greatest blessings. Timothy put Christ first. Together with Christ's interest, and the other things fell into place naturally. Well, thanks be to God for the precious few who subordinate their own interest to the interest of Christ and give their all. One more thing for us to look at. Timothy will care for them as he himself would. Timothy's fully committed to the work of the ministry. And then thirdly, verse 22, Timothy was a man of character who had proven himself. Paul says, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. That is, his mettle had been tested and he had been found to be faithful. And for this reason, Paul puts him in a class apart from all the others. Oh, Timothy was young, but he was not a novice. He had proved himself by faithfully laboring. I've seen people who want big jobs to do, but they're not faithful in doing the little jobs. Why would you give a guy a big job to do if he can't prove faithful in doing the little jobs? Timothy had been faithful in doing all the little jobs. He passed the test. And note here how Paul refers to Timothy as a son who served with him. Like father and son. And he served. That word served is the word we get slave from in the gospel. So his primary commitment, don't miss this, his primary commitment was to Christ and the gospel, not to Paul. You will notice here, verse 22, as a son with his father, he served, what's that next word? With, not for. He was a co-laborer. He served with Paul. He was not Paul's slave. He was Christ's slave. But he served with Paul and assisted and helped Paul in the good work God had called him to do. Well, it is no wonder, in light of qualities like these, that Paul can send Timothy to the Philippians. Well, there's one more thing. Having looked at the commission of Timothy and the recommendation of Timothy, let's look lastly at the importance of Timothy And we see that in the words Paul closes this paragraph with, beginning at verse 23. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. There was one thing that prevented Paul from sending Timothy right then and there. He didn't send him immediately because he himself needed Timothy. Verse 23 makes that abundantly clear. I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. Now, why Paul needed him more than the Philippians did, we're not told. But remember, Paul is in prison, and it's likely that Timothy was sustaining his brother in spiritual ways, encouraging him as he waited trial in Rome. But there may have been other needs that he supplied. John Bunyan spent 12 years in prison, but the prison didn't feed him. His family had to come feed him. His friends had to come feed him. It may have been needs like that that Timothy supplied and helped. So he's going to have to wait and see how things turned out for him before releasing him to ministry among the Philippians. But clearly, the ministry of this man, whether it was to assist Paul or whether it was to help the church at Philippi, his ministry was important. If he stayed in Rome or if he went to Philippi, he had a good work to do. Some people are critical of a man like Timothy. They say he didn't have ambition. He was content to play second fiddle to Paul. Well, every orchestra I've heard needs a second fiddle. And a third. There's no shame in playing second fiddle. Every instrument needs that second chair, that third chair. Now, the second chair isn't as glamorous as the first, but it's necessary. The kingdom of Christ needs servants like Timothy who will play a supporting role, who will help others whom God has given greater roles in the kingdom of Christ. I think of Philip Johnson in that light. Some of you don't have a clue as to who Philip Johnson is. Others of you do. I got to hear him a few weeks ago at the Fire Conference, and the speakers of the conference they interviewed, and so I got to sit next to him, and that was a privilege for me. I have a high regard for Philip Johnson. He's one of John MacArthur's assistants. I don't know if it'd be proper to call him his right hand man, but he's something like that. He has a ministry of vital importance in the kingdom of Christ himself, but his ministry is largely that of assisting John MacArthur. He's advisor to him, editor for him, and an overall general helper to one of the greatest preachers in this generation. That's the kind of person Timothy was. Don't ever be embarrassed if you are a Timothy. Don't be ashamed to have what some would regard as a secondary role, as a minor role in the cause of Christ. Because I assure you, dear friends, our Lord does not look on such service as secondary, as minor. And neither should we. Well, Paul concludes by stating he hoped to come to them shortly. All of that would depend on the decision made at his trial before Caesar. But I want you to note once again, he ends the paragraph like he began it. He places his situation within the bounds of God's will. Verse 19, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. Verse 24, but I trust in the Lord Jesus that I myself also shall come to you shortly. This time, the first time he used the word hope. This time he uses a different word, one that expresses confidence. But you see how consistent this man is? He submitted all of his plans to the will of God. Well, thank God for the Timothys in the church, for those who follow Christ and deny themselves. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's what Timothy did. He wasn't following Paul. He was following Christ. And his ministry was to assist and serve the Apostle Paul, to help churches like Philippi and Athens, or Corinth, and Ephesus. Well, what about us? Are we committed to the work of Christ as Timothy was? Let it not be said of us, for all seek their own, and not the things which are of Christ Jesus. A.W. Pink said, let not self be loved, petted, pitied, pampered, and indulged. Rather renounce and mortify it, and make the pleasing and glorifying of Christ your only business. May God help us to deny ourselves for the sake of the gospel. Father, thank you for a man like Timothy. We want to aspire to serve Christ as he did, to give ourselves wholly, fully, and completely to the work that you've called us to do. Some might have a ministry like Paul, more in the spotlight. But all of us can have a ministry like Timothy, to be a helper, to be a co-worker. Oh, bless and encourage us to that end. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.